Well, one of my favorite texts in the Bible, John chapter 21. Verse 1, the Bible said, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together, anytime you get God's people together, he loves to hang around. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas made the meeting. Called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Now, they were not mentioned. It'd do a lot of Baptist churches good to realize our name don't have to be mentioned. Amen. And so if somebody looks over you, just say, well, Lord, I'm glad you know my name. Because that's all important, that he knows where you are and who you are. Now, here's a character that I've got issues with. He lives with me every day I get up. Simon Peter. He saith unto them, you can underline this if you write in your Bible. I'll try to be highlighting after a while, but I go a fishing. They said to him, we going with you. We also go with thee. They went forth and entered the ship, and immediately that night they caught nothing. When the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, ye shall find. They cast therefore. Now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. Father, help us now. Thank you for the good day, the good time now. Thank you for the word of God tonight. Help us to be true to you. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for the one you saved this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Now you can blame this message on the assistant pastor. He said something to me this morning. I was going to let y'all off tonight. And we done had a good day. And the Holy Ghost just wouldn't let me take off tonight. And this is a rolling around in my heart. I don't even know what he said now, but you can blame it on him. If this sermon's a flop, I can blame it on him. Amen. And if it's a good one, he can take credit for it. But this what, I don't even know what he said, but this thing raised up my heart. Now listen, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go fishing. They said to him, we also go thee. And they went forth and entered in a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I'm going to preach on this simple subject this evening, on when you know that it's time to sell your boat. On when you know it's time to sell your boat. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with me? I don't even know what end of a fishing pole you hold. Say, what in the world's this sermon got to do with me? I ain't got no boat. Well, is that right? Well, tonight I want to say maybe some of you got a dream boat. You see, it's not real, and you just riding around in a dream boat. It's amazing to me how sometimes, you know, people's there, but a light ain't on. You know, some folks talk about the elevator don't go up. Well, you know, ain't it amazing sometimes we as the children of God, we live in a dream boat, man. We just walking around thinking about what things are, but they really are not. And you say, well, preacher, I ain't got a dream boat. Well, there's also a gun boat. You know, a lot of you live in a gun boat. There's a lot of fighting going on in it. A lot of shooting across the bow. Somebody said, preacher, you beat anything I see. Said, everything you do wrong, you get up and tell the whole church about it. Well, I left today, and Mr. Nay said, now, a lot of them women was mad at you because they thought you'd been real ugly to me. Well, I wasn't real ugly. I was just a little ugly. Does anybody live with somebody like that? Every now and then they'll say something, you know, and you just ought not say it. You can go and punch him tonight. I'm not going to be 10 more minutes. You might as well go and enjoy a good slapping for the glory of God tonight. I think we all sometimes say things we ought not say. And for me to tell you that I've been married 33 years and I've had a few issues, I'd be a dummy. As a matter of fact, you'd be more of a dummy to think that I never had that happen in my life. Sometimes I say, honey, where you want to go eat? She says, oh, it don't matter. She done told me before I asked her. Honey, where you want to go eat? I know you want to go to Longhorn. That's one of my favorite. I love to go to Old Charlie. It's one of my favorite. Just wherever you want to go. And she done told me she wanted barbecue at 3:00 this evening. But now, honey, where you want to go? But see, a lot of times I think that a lot of us spend more time in a gunboat than we think. We're always pulling our guns on somebody. Would somebody help me preach on Sunday night and sit in there and would you get in the thing? Hey, maybe time to sell your gunboat tonight. I punched some things in to give me some thoughts on the internet this evening on some boats. I've got a little device saved, and if I need a word, I can punch it in a dictionary thing, and it comes up and gives me a lot of thoughts. That's where danger comes in. But there's a dream boat, there's a gun boat, and then there's a flat bottom boat. You know what I found out about a flat bottom boat, a little flat bottom? They do real good, but they're unstable in rough water. Me and Brother Troy went fishing the other day, and I put some pedestals in the boat about this tall. And I done pretty good, Brother Gerald, when I sat down on the back. When big old Brother Troy got in and sat down, it's like two folks trying to ride a log out in the middle of that thing. It's a little tip heavy, you know what I'm talking about. And so a flat bottom boat looks good in a yard sale, neighbor, but when you put it out here in these watersheds, you better be real careful because they'll get unstable when you try to go to working out of. A lot of you live a life of unstableness. You just hit or miss in church, and man, you just sailing around in life's flat bottom boat. And so you'll find it very unstable in some certain situations. And then there's a houseboat. Some of you just moved right in. You're living in things you ought not be living in. And so now, you not only are you visiting, you've just moved into it. Houseboat. And then there's a paddle boat. You know, you don't go nowhere fast on a paddle boat. It's sort of like a treadmill. You're going nowhere fast. One night, Mr. Nash coming to choir practice, and I was on a treadmill. And man, I was riding that thing before church, and she was backing out with one of the girls. And of course, you know, I turned around, I got to talk, forgot about what I was doing. I fell off in that treadmill. Y'all ever seen a big floor sander turned upside down on elbows and knee? I was trying to get away, and it's trying to get more preacher. You ever seen that? I mean, that thing you just couldn't let go of it. Reminded me, I had a boss one time. They went down to Anniston, down at Sears, and they had a treadmill on display. And she said, you know, I'd love to have one of them. She said, she got up on it. She said, now what's this do? And she hit it, and the last little rascal was on it, had it turned all the way high. And it throwed her off the display out on the floor out there. Sort of like, you know, you walking around, all of a sudden you trip on something, you hope nobody was looking at you. Well, see, I think a lot of times in our life we're going around in places and in things that we don't need to be a messing with. Now, this paddle boat, it'll take you nowhere fast. And a lot of you tonight looks like you get tired of going no place. And then there's also something come up, and it was called a power boat. There's a lot of folks on a power trip. You ever watch these guys walking around like Matt Dillon, like they're going to pull a gun and shoot somebody? Amen. Walking around with attitude. You ever seen a little fella about this tall, and he get on a power trip, Brother Dave, about this tall? I mean, he got to stand on the box to get at the water fountain. And I'm telling you what, them little rascals there, boy, you're talking about short man syndrome, friend. I mean, they are full of they self. When they get a little power in them, boy, they think they something else. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, a lot of you ride around on a power boat. You're on a power trip. You think, man, I got this job, I got this. I ought to preach that this morning. Ain't many here on a power trip tonight, is it? But it's preaching pretty good. Boy, this power boat, man, a lot of folks on a power boat. And you know, on a power trip, folks better watch out being on a power trip. It's amazing when I was at Pepsi, we'd promote folks up through the rank. They done pretty good when they was on a drink route, but when they got a little authority, they totally changed. You ever met anybody like that? Let me give you some good instructions tonight. Be careful on that ladder you climbing up. Be careful who you're stepping on, because you might have to come back by some of them on the way down. Power trip. Boy, look at me. Then when you get up there, you're there all by yourself. Oh, on top's a lonely place. And so there's a power boat. And then there's a speed boat. Man, some of you are wide open. You can't see where you're going, and you don't slow down for nothing. You don't slow down for family. I got something on video. I'd love to put it on. It would tickle a dog. I mean, it'd make a dog run on the porch of laughing. I got a little grand boy, and I got him a John Deere tractor and got a little trailer behind it. And he's wide open. He'll get on this thing, talking about a speed. He'll mash it. I mean, it's amazing how he's out there in the yard. And you know today, you know what real living is? All of a sudden his little trailer come out from behind his John Deere and he just kept a-going. He never even looked back. He made a lap and come back by. He had the gas all the way down. He looked, oh, well, the trailer's gone. That just lets me go faster. What are you saying? Well, I don't want to say who it was, but there was a lady. She made one of these blueberry cakes about this tall. And it's really too pretty to cut it. But me and my son-in-law eat half of it before I went to bed last night. And that's why these suits ain't fitting right. But I got me a big piece of that set out in the rocker after I done eat a good lunch. And watched them young'uns just play around in the yard. Now that's a living. Y'all hear me? A lot of y'all got on a speedboat, and you got to realize we just going through this thing one time. We don't get no second chance. We better slow down and smell the roses. Now, I love to be busy. I can't sit down long. I got rockers. I ain't wore nary one of them out. They just wore me out getting up and down in them. I can't sit nowhere long. I mean, I need an IV of Ritalin if they still got Ritalin. I was the kind of boy just bounced off the chalkboard in the school. I was always my hands getting me in trouble, my mouth getting me in trouble. But anyway, a lot of you on a speedboat. And so be careful this speedboat, y'all. This is what you're going to do. You're going to turn around and you're going to be my age and you're going to say, what in the world was I thinking? Where did the time go? I used to think if I could ever get my driver's license, man, we'd have it. But I'm a grandpa tonight. My goodness. I don't know why. I ain't going to say that. You can't take it. Speedboat. You won't slow down for family. You won't slow down for prayer. You won't slow down for meeting. I'm going to tell you, it may be a good time to sell that speedboat tonight. Then some of you got a steamboat. You're a hot-headed rascal, ain't you? Ma'am, you hot-headed, ain't you? Go on, punch, say, he's talking about me. Go on, say, talk about me. Steamboat, man, it just blew up on you all of a sudden. Steamboat. And then, talking about when you know it's time to sell your boat. There's a tugboat. You know, a lot of you pulling around stuff you don't need to be pulling around. And I tell you what it'll do. It sure will slow you down and get you tired. Ain't you glad what Jesus done for you? Ain't you glad your sins are gone? Some of you, the devil uses you for a tugboat. You can't shout because you think what you done back there under Christ ain't forgive you. Well, let me ask you, have you asked Him to forgive you? He said we'd confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ain't no sense in being a tugboat. But tonight, now my thought, four things I'll be done when you know it's time to sail your boat. Number one, when preaching exposes you. Now watch what happened. Simon Peter in John 21, they've just experienced one of the greatest meetings that anybody's ever had. Jesus has got out of the grave. That night they were gathered together in John 20 in the upper room, and that's the meeting that Thomas didn't come to. The Lord came in and breathed on them. They had just seen Him. They had just experienced things they had never experienced. And so tonight it may be time to sail your boat when preaching exposes you. Now what happened? What? Simon Peter said to them, I go a-fishing. Well, he's not been told to go nowhere. Matter of fact, the Lord told him something in Luke 24:49. He said, Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. You know when that come? It come on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter number 2. That hadn't happened yet. And I'm going to tell you a good time when to sail your boat is when you realize that the sermon has done exposed you, and always the preaching will tell us what we're doing wrong. No sense being mad at the preacher. It ain't the preacher. It's me and it's you. Now, preaching has exposed him. How did it expose him? He said, well, I'm not waiting here no longer. I'm going fishing. You know one of the hardest things in the Christian life to do is to wait. You know, one of the hardest things to do in your life is to wait upon the Lord. But I found out if you wait upon the Lord, there are no uh-ohs. There are no, what did I do with this tonight? Anybody ever went out and bought something, wished you hadn't bought it? I got a bunch of them stories. Have you ever just, at the spur of a moment, you know, act a little crazy and go do something you wished you hadn't done? Well, I'm going to tell you when it's time to sell your boat is when preaching exposes you. Number two, I tell you when it's time to sell your boat is when pride exalts you. Look what he said. Ah, capital. Y'all look up here now. Ah, go fishing. I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to run revivals. I'm going to build a church. There's a church community one time called me and said, Brother Bowman would ask, would you come speak at our church? I said, well, I don't know. He said, we want you to come and tell us how your church is successful. So I want to say two things right there before we go any further. Number one, it ain't my church. And number two, I don't run with folks like you. Now, you can do with that whatever you want to do with that. But I'm not confused on doctrine. You are who you run with. And I'm not going to have no mean spirit, but it's just some places I ain't a-going. And so, watch this thing about pride. When preaching exposes you and when pride exalts you. Did you know in Proverbs 16:18, here's one of the greatest passages ever written. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. A man's pride shall bring him low. Boy, I done found out what I can do. Nothing. You know, and I think a lot of times we all have, you know, it's nothing wrong with having ambitions. I think people ought to have goals. I'm very goal-oriented. Once I get something accomplished, I'm ready to move on. I'm done with that. I'm ready to go to something else. Nothing wrong with to be goal-oriented. Nothing wrong, young people, with having great dreams and desires. But you always remember this, without Jesus, you can do nothing. when pride exalts you. It's easy to get prideful. You'll notice this when you start serving God. When you start being obedient, the blessings of God will start coming to your house. And if you're not careful, the devil will sell you out on pride. I know what I can do. I can make one of the biggest messes, one of the biggest blunders. You know what I've noticed? There's a sister got me this morning, showed me a verse. She said, praying and believing you shall receive. I don't know why we'd want any pride about us. God hates pride. Prayer still changes things. Pride, I'm going to do something. Have you ever said, I'm going to go straighten so-and-so out? But what happened? You got in a big mess. You got in a bigger mess than you could ever straighten anything out. I'm going to go give them peace of my mind. Some of y'all done give way too much of that away. Some of y'all better be looking to get some of that back. You know, I tell you when it's time to sell your boat. It's when preaching exposes you. Do something about it. Quit getting mad at the preacher and get lined up with God. When pride exalts you, go fishing. I said one of the craziest remarks as a young preacher one time about Brother Thurman, his pastor at Antioch. They invited me to come preach at a youth Sunday. I'd never pastored yet. You know, I knowed everything. I'd been preaching about a year. And Brother Thurman Henderson was his name. Me and Miss Renee went there, and I'd preached that night. The Lord really helped me preaching. And some way or another, the man of God says something to me. I said, yeah, Pastor. He said, you men have been pastoring a long time in the same place. Y'all got a lot easier than us young preachers because y'all don't have to study nothing. Well, if I make it to Christmas here, I'll be starting on 20 years. I've got to study harder today to give you something that I've never shared to you than I've ever had. In revivals, it's pretty easy. I just got to pray over what God wants me. I just got to look at what I've done, went over what I've studied to give you. What are you saying? As a young preacher, I just knowed everything. I go a-preaching. I'll never forget one night, and I'll never forget where I was at. First year, you can ask her. I was called to preach. God opened doors. It's unbelievable. I don't know. I forget how many churches was in. It's unbelievable. And I'll be honest with you, God was moving on the preaching. God was using me as a young preacher. I mean, He was using me. And I got big-headed. I got to thinking I was doing something. I didn't know what the Bible said. I just knowed I was saved. God called me to preach, and I was going to win the world of Jesus. And anybody got in my way, I was going to mow them down. Well, it's right or wrong. It didn't matter. Well, I've been doing pretty good, seen some people saved, a lot of doors open. I done got, like Peter, pride. I'll never forget where I was at. I give him a text, something was different that night. God wasn't there. And this, God is my witness, is what He taught me. It's just like He walked over there in the corner, Brother Tim. He said, okay, have at it. And when you're ready, I'm over here. And it's like I was in a drum with a lid on it. Man, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Brother Jody Harrison called me last Sunday night. He said, Brother Ken, you ever wish there was a trap door behind the pulpit and you got on the sermon, you could just pull it and disappear? I said, man, after the sermon, I'm talking about in the middle of the sermon. Just get out of your sight. Let me get out of this. But I'd got full of myself. God stripped me with that pride. God showed me that night as a young preacher, you can't do this without me. And don't forget about where you come from. Hey, Liberty Baptist Church, let me tell you something. God has really blessed this ministry. We've been able to do things that not many people ever get to see. But we better remember one thing. It ain't happy birthday about Ken on the stage. It's even so come Lord Jesus. As our preacher friend prayed tonight, may the Son be magnified and glorified. I tell you when it's time to sail your boat. When preaching exposes you. When pride exalts you. And then watch this. When peers are endangered by you. Are we going with you? You better watch where you're taking people. I'm closing. I'm going to get you out of here by 8 o'clock. I know some of you shouting now. And I don't say this lightly. I mean this with all respect. There's a lot of you respect me as your pastor, and I appreciate that. If I ever lose your confidence in me, I'm done. You hear me? I'm done. I better watch where I'm leading you. Because you sure do follow good. I don't have to drive you. You follow authority. You follow the voice of God as He moves in your heart. But when your peers are endangered by what you're doing, it's time to sail. He took some folks with them that didn't need to go. And you know why? Because he's full of pride. You know what he ought to have said? He ought to have said, has God told y'all to come? We're going with you. These grandbabies, that little old young'un right there in that with that blue bow, give me this baby right here. We leaving anyhow. I want to tell you something. You smile, baby. They can't, but you can. You just smile at them. I'm taking her somewhere. You hear me? I'm taking her somewhere. I'm glad her mom and daddy's taking her to church, but you listen to me. Leave that alone. When your peers are endangered by you, it's time to sail. Amen? I better watch where I'm taking people because they're not far behind. And I want to close with this tonight. I tell you when it's time to sail, when preaching exposes us, when pride exalts us, when peers are endangered by us, and lastly, when progress is evident, they had nothing. I got tired of having a lot, but had nothing. You hear me tonight? I've got a lot in this right hand. My Lord, what would you give for what you got tonight that you're right with God? What would I give for what's in this left hand? I got tired of coming up empty. He said, hey, what y'all got? Boy, you'll always get help when you get honest. You know that? And you're never going to get no help till you get honest. It's what they said. I don't know who said it. Is it in there? Don't make me open my Bible. Is it in there who said it? Brother Gerald, can you? Brother Tim, y'all to that text. Brother Adam, you at that text. Did it say who said it? Did it say they? They answered? You see, it'll work for everybody. Work for everybody. I want what's real and I want what's right. And I tell you when it's time to sell your boat, it's when you come up empty.